We'll say good afternoon. We continue today in Siman Lamed Vav. So over the next couple of days, we're actually going to be focusing on, if you remember, the Mishnah Berurah mentions that because there are so many details involved with how to write the various letters within Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzos, therefore the Mechaber felt it necessary to compose what he called, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, felt it necessary to compose the Mishnah Chaim. And Mishnah Sofrim essentially goes through letter by letter, detailing how to go ahead and write in the details of each letter. So the way I would like to go through this is, we'll talk a lot of this outside with doing some of it inside, because again, as you can see, we're picking up today on page 122 in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, so it's quite a lot of information. And being that we try to generally keep this shir a little bit on the shorter side, I'm going to try to share with you a lot of these ideas outside. And of course, you are free to go ahead and look at it inside. So beginning with Aleph. So the Mishnah Sofrim says that the letter Aleph is really composed of three parts. A yud on the top right, a diagonal line, and another yud on the lower left. The top yud connects to the diagonal line with its leg, and the lower yud with the tag that extends from the top of it. So ideally, the upper yud should connect at the center of the diagonal line, and the lower yud should meet the higher section of line. So again, let me say that piece once more. In an ideal sense, l'chatchila, the upper yud of the aleph should connect at the center of the diagonal line, and the lower yud should meet the higher section of the line. If both yuds connect at the same point, so that the letter, essentially, the aleph will look like an X. So this is machlokes haposkim. So some poskim consider the os, the letter, to be invalid, and others actually permit it. Now, obviously, it goes without saying that the Shaar Tzion points out that even according to those who permit this shape, it's not the correct way to form the letter, and therefore, again, if possible, one should really not use this, and one should not use such a letter that's for tefillin, mezuzos, as well as for Sifrei Torah. So that is the letter Aleph. What about the base? So interestingly enough, the Mishnah Sofrim points out that there are two tips that protrude from each end of the roof of the base. So again, a lot of this, you'll look at it inside and you'll see how each of these letters are actually from. Mishnah Sofrim doesn't include really pictures of the letters, but if you're using the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, so you'll see on the pages of Be'urim Umusafim, the additional footnotes, you'll see that the actual forms of the letters are there. So if you look at the letter beis, so you'll notice that there are two tips that protrude from the beis. So the two tips that protrude from each end of the roof of the beis are symbolic of the following. So Chazal note that the beis alludes to the creation of the world, and these tips point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The left tip points upward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemaim, while the right tip points back towards the previous letter, the Aleph, signaling that Hashem is Echad, that Hashem is one. So it's a very beautiful idea. So tip number one, pointing upward, the idea being that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists in the celestial sphere, of course here as well, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's primary residence is in Shemaim. And the other tip pointing backwards, Aleph, of course, numerical value 1, representing that the Ribbono Shel Olam, to which the first tip points up to, is Echad, is only one. The letter is kosher if these tips are missing, but it should be fixed. Meaning, remember we saw before in the Mishnah Berurah that there are certain aspects of the letters that although Bidi Eved, without it, the letter is technically kosher, because of Zekili Va'anveyu, that when we make the letters, we like them to be as beautiful as possible, so they should be fixed. So even though technically speaking, if the tips are not there, so the letter is still kosher, but the Chatchilo should still be fixed. The left tip should not be made too tall or too thick, otherwise, the whole letter could be mistaken for a lamed. So, very important idea. Remember, these tips exist ultimately again on the left hand side. So you could see over here, if you're looking at the way the picture looks, at the way the letter looks. So again, if it's too thick or too long, then it's very easy to mistake that base for a lamed. What about gimel? So the gimel is composed of a roof and two legs. and combines features of a Zayin and a Nun. So the roof is like a Zayin. Again, remember, if you take a look, if you imagine the Gimel for just a moment without the left-hand protrusion, so the rooftop is like a Zayin, namely that it's square with three Tagin. Remember, we spoke about the Tagin, which are the protrusions that come out from the letter. So you have the top of it, the block top, is like a Zayin with the three Tagin, the three extensions, and the thin leg extending downwards and slightly towards the right. So I have like the top of the Zayin with the three Tagin, a small base extending downwards, tilted a little bit towards the right. The left leg of the Gimel looks like an inverted Yud, whose thicker right leg connects to the center of the Zayin leg. So again, a lot of this is hard for me to explain, Bob, how without you looking at the picture, but hopefully you're looking in the Dirshim Mishneh Berurah, you can see what this looks like. If you were to turn the Gimel, if you were to turn the Gimel upside down, it would look like the left-hand leg, the left side leg, really looks like an upside down Yud. The left leg, when joined with its connecting line and the roof, forms the shape of a Nun. The right leg of the Gimel should be a little bit longer than the left leg. So again, essentially what you have over here is three distinct parts. You have the top of a Zayin with the three Tagin, the three protrusions. You have a thin base that extends from the top that is tilted slightly downwards. And essentially you have a sideways Yud that represents the left-hand part of the Gimel. And the right-hand thinner leg, or let's say the right-sided thinner leg, ultimately, again, should go ahead and be a little bit longer than the left-handed sideways Yud. So essentially, if you were to look at the Gimel is really comprised of three parts, which is the Zayin, the top Zayin, the Nun, and ultimately the Yud. So again, in today's Dafyomi B'Halach, we also focus a little bit on the Dalid. So for this, take a look for a moment in the Mishnah Sofrim. See, right over here, Os Dalid, Tzarech Sheyehe Gag Aruch V'Rag Lo Kitzara. So the roof, the top of the letter should be long, the rag la kitzara, and the part that extends downward should be short. Shimte ragla aruka migaga tidme lekaf pshuta v'tipaso kishelo yikre en hatinok dalet. So remember again, because if you extend the leg of the dalet too far down, then it will no longer look like a dalet, but rather again it begins to look like a chaf. A chaf sofit is what he's referring to. And it would be possible if a child would not be able to identify it as a dalet. Ulechatrilo, sarach shetehe aregel pshuta b'shipua k'tzas letzad yomim. And lechatrilo, we would like to have the base of the dalet extend downward with a little bit of a right-hand slant. V'sheyehela tag katan b'rosh gago mitzad smol. And there should be a little tag. There should be a little protrusion, but literally what we call the crown, a little protrusion on the left-hand side that's tilted a little bit leftward. Actually, excuse me, just not that it's on the left, but it's on the left side. And one must make sure that the top of the Dalet is really squared. It's actually rectangular, but the idea is that it has somewhat of a right angle. Otherwise, it begins to look like a resh. It could be mistaken as a child raiser. Now this is actually very interesting, that as much as we said that the base of the Dalet should not be too long because then it begins to look like a Chaf, so obviously it has to be long enough that it has the appearance of a base. What the Mishnah Sofrim writes is something very interesting, that if the base was so small that it only looks like a Yud, it's still kosher, because since when looking at that letter, the only possible thing it could be is a Dalet, therefore it'll be kosher. V'ayim misof ostav, im kosaf hei b'makom Dalet, ein takana ligror harega olaniach Dalet, me'achar shenifsav adoma letzuras hei, lo ovid midi, v'havichok tochos. So remember again, one of the other interesting pieces was, let's say you accidentally wrote a hey, so you say to yourself, no problem, I could just erase the freestanding part of a hey, and I have a Dalet. Remember, that does not work, because as we discussed, we have the issue of chak tochos. So chak tochos means that letters must be formed lechatchila through an active dynamic display of writing, as opposed to the removing of something in order to fashion a letter. That does not work. V'gam limshoch agag lo mahani, t'chosh shelo nifsal tzuras ha'os ha'vichak tochos. Rak tarach ligur ha'gag ad sheik tzuras ha'vav u'mashlima o shigur gam ha'regel yamin kulo v'lo yashir afilu kimole yud v'achar kach yashlim en arad. The only way to fix that dalid that was originally written as a hey is either one has to erase the roof and then redo the roof. Obviously, one will erase the roof, then erase the freestanding part of the hay, and then rewrite and then redo the top of the roof. Or one would go ahead and erase the part of the hay that extends downward, extend this essentially, erase both parts, the part that extends downward that's attached to the roof and the part that's freestanding, and then you could go ahead and rewrite the part of the roof that is attached, then you could rewrite the part that extends downward that is attached to the roof. All right, so we will stop over here. Emir Hashem, tomorrow we pick up with Os Hay, with the letter Hay, wishing everyone a wonderful day.